Well, good morning again to everyone. Storytelling is a special art. And every day, through different forms of media, people are trying to tell stories. Some stories are for fun. Some stories are to make you think. Some are a call to action. And some are used to elicit emotions from you. Some people just seem to have the ability to draw you in when telling you a story. Vincent Price was no doubt the king of scary tales and suspense. And nobody sounds as regal or majestic as that bass of James Earl Jones. And some people are great at making you think. I don't know if you've ever heard a documentary where Morgan Freeman was the announcer, and he just kind of tells the story, really good at it. And there are politicians that had a knack for speeches, and their voices were unmistakable and almost storytelling-like. JFK could certainly stir emotions, while others like Ronald Reagan used his subtle humor to make people feel at ease. And some people like Ken Burns really know how to tell stories through documentaries, bringing history to life through the stories that he writes and produces. One of my favorite storytellers was Burl Ives, who narrated Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Isn't that a fun story? And some of you might remember the iconic TV show, The Wonder Years. And Daniel Stearns was the narrative voice that took you through every episode as they told the story of Kevin Arnold and his friends growing up. And for decades, radio listeners all over the country listened to Paul Harvey. You might not recognize his face, but there's little doubt when you hear that iconic voice say, "And now you know the rest of the story." But one teacher, one storyteller, was all on his own the best in class. A prolific storyteller that gathered multitudes in his day. A storyteller whose stories are including in the best-selling book ever. Stories that are still pondered and debated today. That one person, of course, is Jesus. Jesus was often followed by large crowds. The Bible often refers to them as the multitudes. At least one of the crowds was listed as 5,000 people. Now, scholars say that the numbers mentioned in the Bible only counted adult males. So it is possible that if women and children were counted, that the numbers could have been as high as many as 7,500 to 10,000 people listening to Jesus speak. Now think about this verse from Matthew 15. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way." Could you imagine a storyteller, a teacher, so engaging that for 3 days you would go without food just to hear them? That means Jesus was that good at speaking. And one of his favorite ways of teaching was by the use of parables. The Bible records 46 of his parables. And his parables usually had two parts. The story part, where he tells the parable about a story, about people, about something that happened. And then there was the second part of the parable where he explains what he really meant by it. And not always, but frequently in Scripture, we see when Jesus ends his story part with the phrase, he says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." Which was Paul Harvey speak For in a minute, you're going to hear the rest of the story, right? Whoever has ears, let them hear. Jesus is saying, did you get it? Did you really hear what I was saying? Did you connect to the story? Did you get that the story was more than a story? There's meaning behind it. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Did you hear the message? Did you find yourself in that story? Did you get some truth out of it? And it also means that if you didn't get it, pay attention because I am going to explain it to you. Jesus says, I am bringing an important word from God to you, and you need to hear it. So to help us in this sermon series, anytime that I say, whoever has ears, you're going to say, let them hear. Like the rest of the story, right? So let's try it. Whoever has ears,
let them hear.
And then I'll know you're paying attention. And if you're at home, you got to do it too. The disciples didn't always get the parables. And in verse 10 of our scripture today, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? In other words, Jesus, why do you have to keep telling stories? You always explain it at the end. Why don't you just skip the story and get right to the point? Just tell us what you mean. Jesus, keep it simple. Shorten them sermons up. I mean, 3 days in a row, that's a pretty long sermon, isn't it? But are the disciples any different than us? I mean, most of you won't come for an extra hour for Sunday school. Imagine a worship service and a sermon going on for 3 days. But as usual, Jesus had the right answer. He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what they may have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understanding. Jesus is saying, I'm speaking to you in parables because some of you get it, but some of you don't. And for many of these people, the truth is over their heads. They're just not hearing it. They're not getting it. And he goes on to say, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Jesus is explaining to his disciples that Isaiah had predicted God's people would stop really listening, that God's word would be treated as routine, that God's way would be turned into a meaningless religion, that God's people would become so worldly that their hearts could no longer be softened or changed by God's word. And are we so different than God's people of that day? Some of you get it, but many of you don't. Do you only hear with your ears? Have you closed your eyes to what's going on? Has your heart become calloused? Is it just noise to you? Whoever has ears. Man. Woo. Wake up. Whoever has ears. Now ask yourself in all honesty, did you come here this morning asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you, or did you just come here? Did you come here asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you today, or did you just come here? Because you see, that changes everything. Did you come here asking the Holy Spirit to come to speak to you, or did you just come? Whoever has ears,
let them hear.
Because when you come to hear, when you come seeking the truth, it is amazing what will happen. Going back to our scriptures, he says, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Jesus said, if you stop being churchy, if you let go of circumstances, if you quit being jaded, if you quit making it about rules and traditions, if you come to really see with your eyes, if you come to hear with your hearts, then you will experience change. You will experience healing. You will experience blessing. Isn't that something? That if you come with your eyes, come to really hear, you will experience change, healing, and blessing. And I don't know if you realize this, but worship really has a purpose. There is a biblical design to worship. We are to gather at God's calling. That's why we start with a call to worship. It is God who has called us to gather. It is God who has called us to come and offer Him praise. And then we prepare ourselves to hear and receive the word that God has for us today. Sometimes the word or the message God has from you comes directly from hearing the scripture. And some of you have asked me this question. You've wondered, why does the liturgist read the scriptures and then you stand up and start saying the same scriptures? Isn't that redundant? There are two reasons for this. One, hearing something twice reinforces it. Maybe three or four times for some of us. But most importantly, God's word, as we have it in the Bible, is worthy to be heard on its own without my interpretation. It is God's holy word. Does God need me to speak for Him? So when our liturgist reads our scripture, you are supposed to listen to what God is speaking to you. And Martha and I don't gather on Thursdays just to catch up, although we do. And we have a wonderful friendship and a wonderful time. And sometimes Drew dominates our conversations, but we love him. But when we put together our worship service, the hymns that we choose, the songs that we choose, the things that we do have a purpose. They have a meaning. Because the hymns that are in here, a lot of them have deep theological meaning to them. There are words and messages from God contained in our music. And when it comes to my sermons, you may not know this, but I spend a lot of time in prayer seeking God's direction. I spend a lot of time in study and preparation. I write and revise my sermons based on how the Spirit leads me. And I do my best each week to honor God and give you my very best. But despite all of my best efforts to bring you a well-prepared message, how you hear and how you respond to that message is between you and God. Whoever has ears, do you get that? What you get or don't get from my sermon is between you and God. Don't blame me for a sermon you don't like. Don't blame me if you think the sermon is blah. And on the same token, don't give me credit or applause for entertaining you or giving you a good sermon. Because all reality, I'm a person. I am limited. Trust me, sometimes I listen to my own sermons and I know how limited I am. And as Carla once told me, you're no Billy Graham. Now that sounds like an insult, right? She didn't mean it like that. But what she was reminding me is that the Holy Spirit is the agent at work here. The Holy Spirit is the agent of change. I do not have the power to change people. And if someone is coming here to hear me, they're coming for the wrong reasons. I am only an instrument of God. What God does through the Holy Spirit each week is between you and God. And I know that it works because some of you get angry. I've had people send me notes and phone calls and other things saying, I don't like the way you're preaching at us. You know what that means? Guilty. Convicted. That's the Holy Spirit, not me. And I can also tell you this, that I've got up and spent a week preparing a message, sometimes putting 12 to 13 hours in to bring you one sermon. And I'll stand in the back and somebody will come by and say, I really needed to hear about that. And I stop and go, when did I say that? It wasn't in my sermon. I didn't preach that. But they heard something that day from God that spoke to them in a way I never intended, in a direction I didn't write down. God was working in that moment in their lives to give them a message that they needed to hear. Whoever has ears. Over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at some of the parables of Jesus. Some of the parables you may have heard 1,000 times. Some of them you may have forgotten about or just don't remember. And for some of you, it may be the first time that you've heard that particular parable preached on. But I challenge you to come each week to seek God's message. Don't seek my message. Seek God's message. Are you willing to pray on Sunday mornings before you come to the service, before you log on to the service? Are you willing to pray to say, God, open my heart and open my mind so that I may hear the words you have for me today? Are you willing to do that? Before you get here, or maybe the moment you sit down in that pew, say, God, I am here for you today. I'm opening up everything that I am. Please feed me and nourish me in a way that I've never been nourished before. And I promise you this, that if you do that with a genuine and a sincere heart, that it will be life-changing for your worship experience. If you genuinely ask God each Sunday to allow the Holy Spirit to open your minds and open your ears, open your eyes and your hearts so that you just don't hear God's word. That you feel it. That you experience it. That it fills you. That it enlightens you. That it changes you and works on you. Because that is the power of God's word. It's not my ability or inability to be an effective speaker. Because it's God's word that changes people. God's word is designed to feed you. God's word should edify you. God's word should bring you comfort. Sometimes it'll bring you conviction. Sometimes it'll bring you assurance. And sometimes God's word is a call to action. You know, get up and do something. A call for growth to say, you've been stuck here and I want you here. Or maybe a call for change in your life. Will you allow God's words to work inside of you? May God's word, may the stories of Jesus during this sermon series be the stories that you come to love. Become the stories that you love to tell. Become the stories that lead you and guide you in your life. Whoever has ears, let us pray. Gracious Lord, as we move forward from here, we pause. We pause to listen. Heavenly Father, I know your Holy Spirit is speaking to some people right now. There are people who are excited. There are people who are convicted. And there are some people who just don't know what to do. Lord, I pray that your Spirit fills them and leads them, guides them. So that way, when we gather again next week, this will be a totally different worship experience. May you start that change today that affects how they live this week, that makes them so excited to be here and so thirsty for your knowledge that they demand more and ask for more and expect more. Lord, your food, your bread is good and wonderful. The water of your Spirit quenches a thirst like none other. Let us be a people who learn to crave that, to seek that, and to desire that. And may each week, may your Holy Spirit work to bring us your word, no matter what form it comes in. All of this we ask and pray through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. When we as Christians begin to realize that it's not about us and that it's all about Him, the us will change. And I pray that you really chew on the words this week, that God will open up your minds and your hearts and begin to push us in a direction like He's never pushed us before. I've known it since the day I've got here. God has great plans for this congregation. God has places He wants us to go, things to do, missions to accomplish, people to lead the Christ, people to feed, people to clothe, all kinds of stuff God has in store for us. But if we're not ready to receive that word and take that direction and become changed ourselves, how do we expect to go out and change a world? We need to allow God to change us before we can lead other people to that change. Let us go from here and be people that are led and fed by God's word. Go now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.